T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
All right, 3:04 on Fan Hour 2 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Here, of course, till 6 o'clock, Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Ernie Acosta in Manhattan. And we are live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
He's an author, does a great job covering MLB for MLB.com. Covered the Yankees for many years. The great Mark Feinsohn joins us. Mark, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
How are you, Mark?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Excellent.
All right.
The first question, it's clearly the most important question, Mark. Can we get every team on the same page on what the heck we're calling the next 2.5 weeks? Is it spring training? Is it summer training? Is it we're all hanging out at a ballpark for 2.5 weeks? What the heck are we calling it now?
Well, it seems like summer camp has been the term most people are going with. That's the one that's sponsored on a lot of these releases that we're seeing. So summer camp, it's got a nice little ring to it. And obviously it's not really spring training if it's starting in the beginning of July. So it sounds like summer camp seems to be the one that everybody's going with.
I don't know if you saw this, but John Heyman, who, you know, we love, I'm sure you love, everybody loves John Heyman, was firing off a tweet about how he hates the name summer camp.
Yeah,
maybe he had bad experiences in summer camp.
I was a summer camp kid myself, and they were probably the best summers of my life. So anything to bring a summer camp back into our lives, I'm down with. So I'd have to respectfully disagree with John on that one.
Yes. Well, we're used to that. We respectfully disagree with John
on a lot of things. That is definitely true. Mark, how confident are you that they're going to get this pulled off? I mean, look, at least we got the parameters, and it looks like things are starting to really move in the right direction. But there's still, you know, you still got to be a little concerned here.
Oh, I think absolutely. Look, they've put a lot of protocols into place to try to get this thing to work and to last for the entire 60-game season. But unfortunately, none of us know whether it's going to happen, because none of us have any idea how the virus is going to react or expand, or what's going to happen from there. I mean, they're you know, I give them a lot of credit. They seemingly have thought of everything. And if everything works to plan, they should be able to minimize outbreaks and minimize players contracting. But a lot of that's going to, you know, fall on the players to be smart about it. And when you're, you know, especially when you're home and you're not restricted to a team hotel, you know, not being dumb, not going out to a bar, not going out to a crowded restaurant, doing the smart things to keep yourself healthy and away from potential virus.
Joe and I had speculated for a while that there are going to be players who say, I'm not going to do it. You know, I just don't think it's worth the risk. We've heard about Mike Leake over the last few hours, who's decided not to participate. Ryan Zimmerman wrote an op-ed on why he's thinking about not participating. What are you hearing overall? Do you expect over the next few days to be a lot of names coming out, or do you think it's only going to just be a handful of guys that decide not to participate in this season?
You know, I can't get inside the heads of each and every player, but from people I've spoken to, executives around the league, agents, that kind of thing, they don't think it's going to be a mass opt-out situation. There will be a handful of guys who, for whatever their personal reasons are, whether it's their own health or the health of their family, or maybe the money that they stand to make and putting that all of that at risk, they will opt out. But I don't think it's going to be a thing where every team has to worry about five, six, seven players opting out and all of a sudden trying to figure out what to do. I think it's going to be a case-by-case basis, and there will be a handful of them, but I don't expect it's going to be a massive number.
Well, what's your thoughts on how the rules are going to play out? Do you like, first of all, you like the schedule, 60 games, all in your division and against the comparable division in the other league. How about that?
Yeah, I think it's as good as anything you could come up with. I mean, obviously, you have to have interleague play because you have 15 teams in each league, and so there's always going to be interleague play on the schedule. The only thing that I would like to see would have been just four games against each interleague opponent straight up instead of doing six against your natural rival, only because it puts the teams that have stronger natural rivals at a bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, the Yankees and Mets have to play each other six times.
Right.
The Nationals get the Orioles six times. So,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Or the Rays get the Marlins six times. So I think that unbalances it a little bit. But, you know, you have that same thing on a regular 162. So I guess in that aspect, it's really no different than it has been under normal schedules. But I think the idea of reducing travel within your own region makes sense. Some regions are tougher than others. Obviously, the Yankees and Mets still have to go down to Florida. The Yankees are going to have to go to Toronto. But if you look at, like, the Colorado Rockies, they have to travel a distance to go everywhere, even in their own division. So there's no perfect answer to it, but I think they did as good a job as they could in trying to come up with a schedule that reduces risk as much as it can.
Before this season starts, is it possible that they will delete the extra inning rule? Because everybody hates it, for the most part. Everybody knows it's crazy. So is it possible that maybe Major League Baseball and the players will reconsider sticking a guy on second base with nobody outs to start extra innings?
I mean, anything's possible, obviously. I don't expect that they will get rid of the rule. You know, they've used it in the minor leagues. It's been relatively successful. And if you're going to try something, this is the season to try it, right? This is the season to try the universal DH. This is the season to try the extra inning rule because it is a shortened season and you can get long enough where you can get a good feel for sort of how that plays out and how people think about it. And I, you know, then when you take the health concerns into the situation, it does make sense from a health standpoint. You know, I'm not a big baseball traditionalist in terms of like when interleague came into play, I was all for it. I like the universal DH. Things like that. I love the wild card and then the two wild cards. Am I crazy about this? No, but I also have never really watched it happen on a regular basis. So I'm willing to see what it looks like and you know, make a determination of how I feel about it from there.
I've only watched, in fairness, like I'd be lying if I said I've seen it a million times. I've seen it a handful of times in the World Baseball Classic. I couldn't stand it. I would have been, and I don't know if you feel this way, Joe, and you feel this way, Mark, I would have been better with ties. I would have been, it would have been weird, and I know, oh, no ties in baseball, but I understand the health risks that you talk about. So I think that would have been fairer in a way to just say, okay, this game is a tie, as opposed to kind of this hokey, let's put a guy on second base idea. Was there serious consideration to ties?
I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't in those meetings. I would think it was discussed. But the fact that this is a procedure that they've used at the minor league level, they know what it looks like. They've seen it. They've gotten feedback from people in the minors on it. And obviously they decided that this was a better route to take than having tie games. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, the three battle rule is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. That was coming into the league anyway this year. But with, you know, teams are going to have expanded rosters and you're going to have more relievers. And yet every time you put one in, unless it's to end the inning, he's facing three batters. So, you know, that's going to be, to me, that was going to be a really interesting thing to watch had we had a 162-game season. Now, with the fact that starting pitchers are not going to be going as deep into games, certainly for the first few weeks or first month, I'm really intrigued to see how managers use their bullpen and how that three-batter rule comes into play.
How about the playoff situation? I mean, right now, I guess it's still going to be five from each league, but I guess they could still expand it to eight from each league. Is that still... I guess that's still up in the air, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, the players and the league can still negotiate that. I would assume that by the time opening day comes around, that's got to be locked in. Right now, it is the same 10-team format that we've seen with the two wild cards and the one-game playoff. I would have liked to have seen it expanded. I think, you know, just as people were against the two wild cards, it's provided some really exciting moments. I think these best-of-three series in the opening round, you know, you're potentially adding, you know, a whole bunch of potential elimination games and I like that idea as well. And playoff baseball is super exciting. So the more of it, the better for me. But right now it's going to be 10. And then obviously once the new CBA, you know, negotiations begin, I'm sure the idea of expanded playoffs will be heavily addressed.
we're talking to Mark Feinstein about baseball. When the NBA schedule came out the other day, and it's obviously very different circumstance, they're doing it in a bubble city. One of the things that jumped out at me was, my God, there's basketball games all day. You know, the Nets are playing a 2 o'clock game, then they got a 5 o'clock game. Are you hearing anything about what a baseball schedule will look like in terms of time, amount of games in a series? Because I think we've all grown accustomed to, all right, three-game series Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe a day off Thursday, series over the weekend, night games mostly throughout the week unless it's a travel day. Should we expect that to be the same, or do you see, you know, kind of it looking maybe a little bit different in the circumstances that we're in?
Well, it's 60 games over 66 days, which means it's just a little less, about, what, 9.5 weeks long, and there's only six off days. So there are going to be weeks where there are certainly no off days for teams. The only thing I would expect, and I don't know this for a fact, I would expect that the final game of a series, the getaway games, you would think would be in the afternoon to give teams extra time to travel, take into account the extra innings, you know, potential, and how that could, you know, push back their departure as well. I don't think you're going to want to put players in a position where they're getting into a city at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning for a game that night where we're so concerned about people's health right now. I would think you would do everything possible to make sure that guys are staying as healthy as possible. So I would think the getaway days as afternoon games would make sense. I don't know for a fact that's going to happen, but you know, other than that, it's going to be three game series except for the, you know, a few two game interleague series, and I think they'll look largely, you know, largely like they have in the past.
Talking baseball with Mark Feinstein. You know, Mark, last week I had John Smoltz on, and he had some very radical ideas, but I'm not even going to get into that. But he said that he could, because I asked him about the starting pitching, and he said he could actually see four-man rotations because you're going to throw a lot less innings this year. I mean, no, what's going to be a big innings limit? 70 innings, 75 innings for a starting pitcher? I mean, how much are you going to really throw? And he was talking about actually, you know, he said he would be able to go, this is for him anyway, would be able to go six innings every 4 days. Do you see something like that?
I don't. I mean, you know, you think about it. He's also talking about coming off of a normal spring training where you've had, you know, 7 weeks to stretch your arm out and get yourself physically ready. These guys have been throwing at home and doing their thing, but they're not going through major league training regimens right now in spring training as normal, and they're only going to have 3 weeks to get there before opening day. Teams invest so much money in pitchers, especially good starting pitchers, that I just find it hard to believe that you're going to risk one of these guys getting hurt in a season like this. You know, blowing out your elbow, blowing out your shoulder, missing all of 2021 or possibly longer, you know, for an extra 3 or 4 starts. Right now, I think everybody is going to get, you know, probably around 12, maybe 13 starts over the course, you know, 12 to 13 starts over the course of the season. So, yeah, I mean, your innings leader is probably not going to hit 100 innings. You're probably looking
right
at like 80 innings to lead the league.
Right.
But I just, teams invest so much money in pitching. That I just don't see them putting pitchers in a spot that they're not used to. Now, coming into the season, last 2 to 3 weeks of the season, you know, you think back to 2008 when CC Sabathia took the ball in 3 days rest, like four or five times in a row to help get the Brewers in the playoffs. Could I see a pitcher or two saying to their team, I feel good. I've only got, you know, 55 innings on my arm this year. Give me the ball every fourth day. I could see something like that. I just don't see it happening over the course of 2 months.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I mean, I what John said, I hoped would happen, but it's not. I mean, we live in such a world in which it's all about protecting arms, in which I worry that, you know, specifically Jacob deGrom and Gerrit Cole, the two guys that are elite and make a ton of money and are signed long-term, that I can almost see the Mets and Yankees going the other way, where they go out of their way to protect them because they're going to start games in late July, and you could say they've been throwing bullpen sessions the entire spring. It's not the same as pitching in a major league game. I almost fear that first time around, we're going to see starting pitchers, especially the high-priced guys that you want to protect, go 3 or 4 innings, let alone, you know, 6, 7 innings every 4 days, you know?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me the first week or two if you see guys in their first and second starts going 4 innings. You know, I don't think you're going to see many complete games this year. But
do we ever?
But I think a guy like Cole, a guy like DeGrom, who, you know, they've been around the league a long time, they know their bodies, they know their arms, they know how they feel, they will be a part of the process of figuring out, you know, how much, how often, and how many innings they'll throw. The Yankees and Mets are not going to take any chances with those guys, but at the same time, they also know that their best recipe for success is for those guys to go out there and for them to win the games that they start. So, you know, I think you'll see them. Guys like that will pitch probably a little more. I don't think teams would go out of their way to say, you're only going 3 and I don't care how you feel.
Mark, how about the schedule itself, only 60 games? I mean, do you see that kind of leveling the playing field a little bit? I mean, how about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen even bad teams last year had 60-game stretches where they played 500 ball, or, you know, 50-game stretch where they played a couple games over. So, you know, unless a team gets out to just a horrific start, you know, 5-17 or something like that, you know, if you're hanging around 500, you're within striking distance of a playoff spot. And 60 games, you know, that's – now we're normally talking about the end of May. Most people don't even pay attention to the standings until the end of May. Now we're going to have this sort of sprint for the end. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you see a team or two get into the playoffs that, in a 162-game season, you would never have thought they had a chance. I mean, what was it, last year the Mariners started out 13-2. You start out 13-2 in a 60-game season, you know, then you start doing the math of, well, if we play 500 the rest of the way, you're talking about a 40-win season or something like that. So I think it's definitely going to make for some interesting races. I think a lot more teams are going to be in it, which is going to, you know, be something to watch come August 31st during the revised trade deadline. How many teams that are out of it are really willing to sell? How many teams are willing to build out prospects for 4 weeks of a guy, you know, guy's services plus the postseason? And then when you factor in, you know, the potential for a second wave of coronavirus that could cut the potential of the postseason to be short, you know, are teams really going to want to trade for a guy who may not even get a chance to perform in the postseason? So a lot of elements that are going to go into this. And the word I keep using talking about everything involved is evolving, because we just don't know. And as the season starts and as the season goes along, I think things will evolve where teams will get more comfortable with what's happening and how they're doing business. And then, you know, but this is going to be a first for everybody, every GM in the game, every manager in the game. They've never gone through anything like this. So they're going to be learning with the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, I love baseball, and I think every night where I watch a baseball game, I'm going to cherish it and go to bed realizing I may not see another one. It could be shut down at any moment. So.
Right.
Thank you,
Hopefully
Edwin
that's
Diaz.
Not the case.
Thank you, Edwin Diaz, for blowing that save. I enjoyed that moment.
You won't
moment.
Be saying that when he does it, I can tell you that.
No, not in the moment. Mark, let me ask you this, all right? They have a lot of these restrictions, you know, spitting, high fives, fighting. And I bring that up because does that give free rein to teams to kind of take advantage of the Houston Astros? No, go after them. What are they going to do? It's not like Jose Altuve's charging the mound.
Well, I think that the league, even before all of this, was going to be instructing umpires, you know, if people are throwing at the Astros, you got to look at that differently than another guy getting hit on another team. And I think if they're seeing teams throwing at the Astros on a regular basis, umpires may have quicker hooks in terms of booting guys from games. So I think everybody understands where that's coming from. And I think that not only the Astros, but really everybody, if you know that the guy at the plate can't charge you, you may be a little braver throwing inside or throwing at a guy. But I have to think that if that becomes evident in the first week or two of the season, you know, the umpires will be receiving some orders to, you know, get rid of that as soon as they can.
You know, I got some last week. Evan was off. I was alone. I got some crazy calls about what if somebody hits 400 in a 60-game season? How do you view that, Mark? I mean, you can't say it's, you know, Ted Williams in 1941. What is it? Just an asterisk next to that? What about that?
I don't know if you put a formal asterisk next to it, but I think people would look at it and understand that it's in a 60-game season. I don't think anybody's going to look at a rate record like that and say, oh, well, he hit 400 just like Ted Williams, because everybody knows that it's in a 60-game season. I don't think it diminishes how good of a season that would be, and if somebody hits 400, they're going to be in the MVP conversation. Right. You know, but what's the home run? I mean, all the counting stats are safe, because what's the home run leader going to have, 20 home runs this year?
Right.
You know, no one's challenging Barry Bonds this year.
No.
But I think when it comes to the numbers like batting average, everybody understands what it is, and I don't think it's going to be, you know, people are going to be putting that in the category of, you know, 400 hitters of all time.
I don't know what's going to happen, and I think we're all just kind of guessing. We're spitballing. Here's my guess. My guess is, first of all, no one's going to hit 400. I'll start with that. And I think that the pitchers are going to be ahead of the hitters. That's something we normally see in spring training. I do think most managers are going to have such quick hooks, and the rosters are a little bit deeper, that we're going to see a lot of relievers. And I think those relievers are going to be ahead of the game. And so I think, at least for this season, at least for the bulk of the 60 games, I think the offensive numbers are going to be down. That's kind of my, you know, a little bit less than a month out from the start of the season, trying to figure out what the heck's going to happen. That's kind of the prediction I'd make about it. I think offensive numbers are going to be down. What do you think, Mark?
that wouldn't surprise me. The only thing you also have to take into account is that if a team is carrying a 15-man bullpen, then you've got three relievers out there who wouldn't normally be in the big leagues. So when those guys are on the mound, you could say they're ahead of the game physically, but maybe they're not good, as good as the players that they're going to be pitching to, or as good as the relievers that would have otherwise been taking some of those innings. So, the good pitchers, yeah, they will probably be ahead of the hitters. But if you're throwing out guys who would otherwise have been in AAA, I don't care how physically ahead of you the hitters you are, good big league hitters should still be able to hit them.
Are you, again, we're talking to Mark Feinstein. Are you guys going to be able to go and cover these games? I mean, how's that going to work out, Mark? Do you know?
The way it's set up right now is each team has a certain number, I think 30 or 35 seats in a press box that they're going to have available, socially distanced, of course. And we'll be able to go to the game to cover. Initially, at least, I believe all interviews are going to still be conducted over Zoom or for conference calls. So you won't actually be able to be near the players. You know, they're taking every precaution to make sure that players are exposed to as little risk as possible. So we'll be there. It's going to be a different season for us, like it's going to be a different season for everybody else. But I think everybody in my industry understands that, you know, that this is just part of this year and part of 2020 and part of this virus. And you'll just make the best of it. And hopefully by the time 2021 rolls around, we'll be able to try to get things back to semi-normal.
I'm cautious when I say this, Mark, but I'm fired up. I'm starting to think about all the possibilities of this season, as weird as it's going to be. And just the idea of watching baseball again, the thought of Yankees Nationals. And by the way, this is very easy. Let me just say, let's go Yankees. All right. I don't need the defending champion Nationals getting right off to a 3-0 start. So it doesn't happen often. Get it done to start the year. The idea, though, of baseball, as weird as it may be, nobody in the stands, I'm getting excited about it, but I'm very cautious. I'm excited.
I'm just happy that we've been able to sit here and talk for 20 minutes without using words like economic feasibility and, talking about labor issues. We'll have plenty of that down the road. But the fact that we're talking about baseball and getting excited for baseball again, I know, you know, it's not only my profession, but it's a game that I've loved watching since I'm about 3 years old. And I'm excited. I couldn't be more excited for the game to get back on the field.
Mark, it's always a pleasure, man.
Thank you, Mark.
Look forward to it.
You got it, guys. Stay well.
All right, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.